Did everyone get a lesson that wants one? Anybody need? I'm not sure if we have extra or not. Anybody? Okay. All right, if you want to open your books this morning, we'll start in Genesis chapter 14. Genesis chapter 14. This is our fifth lesson in the study of the names of God, and we speak this morning of the Most High God, the Most High God. Genesis 14. In verse 18, Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand." And he gave him tithes of all. And the king of Sodom said unto Abram, "Give me the persons and take the goods to thyself. And Abram said to the king of Sodom, "I have lift up my hand unto the Lord," that is Yahweh, "the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latchet, and that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldest say, 'I've made Abram rich,' save only that which the young men have eaten, and the portion of the men which went with me, Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre, let them take their portion." The Most High God. Isaiah wrote in his prophecy, "I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high, high, and lifted up." We go all the way back to the Tower of Babel, and we see men who have sought to elevate themselves. "Go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name." To elevate, to exalt himself, to rise up to positions of rank, authority, prominence. Of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, Daniel says, "The tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong, whose height reached unto the heaven, and thy dominion to the end of the earth." I'm sorry, I skipped a few lines, didn't I? My eyes are getting worse. I might have to switch to size 14 font in the lesson here. "The tree which that thou sawest, which grew and was strong, whose height reached unto the heaven, and the sight thereof to all the earth, it is thou, O king. Thou art grown and become strong, for thy greatness is grown and reacheth unto heaven, and thy dominion to the end of the earth." Isaiah speaks about the Babylonian king himself when he says, "For thou hast said in thine heart, 'I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High.'" Of course, if you know anything about Nebuchadnezzar's life, you know that it wasn't long after that he was eating grass like a cow. And if you want a good lesson on the Most High God, read the book of Daniel and the life of Nebuchadnezzar. It's very interesting. "The created will not rise to such heights. He may for a season be held in high esteem by his fellow creatures, but as sure as the sun rises, it soon descends, and he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision." Our God is El Elyon. El Elyon, the Most High God. He is above all in sovereignty, in power, in authority, in beauty, in splendor, and we could go on and on. The psalmist in 9 says, I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. It is a blessing this morning to speak of El Elyon. And it is my intention today not to teach as much as to offer you a handout for your own personal devotion. Because as we see, and we probably won't finish all of these references, it is really a true blessing and a revelation to look at El Elyon, especially in the Psalms, and to see His highness and His greatness. So I would encourage you to take this and keep it and look at the different Psalms. We've got several passages in bold print here that we'd like to read, but we could read all of these Psalms, and they all seem to just really lift up God as El Elyon. Now, that word Elyon, the Hebrew word, is used some 53 times in the Old Testament. In the book of Daniel, Eli and Elyon are Aramaic words that are the translation of that Hebrew word, very much alike. And that word is used 15 times in the book of Daniel as well. But 21 times in the 53 times of the Hebrew word, 21 times or so, it is used in a general way. In other words, not necessarily referring to God or not referring to God. The term highness and similar expressions have been used to honor men and women of royalty and stature. And we have a quote here, to the Most High and Might Prince James, by the grace of God, King of Great Britain, France and England, Ireland, Defender of the Faith. This is from the dedication of the King James Version of the Bible, referring to King James as the Most High and Might Prince. And so these are terms that men have used to exalt one another in the past. In Genesis chapter 40, verse 17, we see a general use of the word Elyon in the uppermost basket. That's Elyon. In Deuteronomy 26, and to make thee high above all nations, that refers to Israel, Elyon. Joshua 16:5, the very last word, the upper, that's Elyon. In 2 Kings 15:35, howbeit the high places, Elyon. So that it is used in a generic sense or a general way in the Scriptures, and there are other Hebrew words that are much like it that are used generically like that. But Elyon is one of the names of God, as we see in Genesis chapter 14. He is high, most high. He is Elyon El. He is El Elyon. He is the Most High God. And so what we've done, as we say, is we've listed just specific psalms here that deal with this name of God, and we start with Psalm 50. And I don't intend on reading all of these, but let's just look, and we'll just go until we feel like it's time to stop. Psalm 50, a psalm of Asaph, the mighty God. Even the Lord hath spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun unto the going down thereof. Out of Zion the perfection of beauty God hath shined. Our God shall come and shall not keep silence. A fire shall devour before Him, and it shall be very tempestuous round about Him. He shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth that He may judge His people. Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. And the heavens shall declare his righteousness, for God is judge himself, Selah. Hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel, and I will testify against thee. I am God, even thy God. I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifices or thy burnt offerings to have been continually before me. I will take no bullock out of thy house, nor he-goats out of thy folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine, and the fullness thereof. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay thy vows unto El Elyon. Or precisely to Elyon, capital H, high. And call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Here, Elyon is the possessor. I own it already. And this is what we come to often when we think about the words of man regarding the existence of God, and those who would, in their best efforts, try to deny the existence of God. I always come back to things like this, and I think the Lord owns this. He owns it. Well, I don't believe he exists. He has it in his hand. It is his. And we are going to say that he does not exist. You know, the creature sometimes does some unusual and odd things, doesn't he? He is the possessor. Elyon is the possessor. Give praise to the Most High. In Psalm 18, Psalm 18. Now, if you're wondering why I went backwards there, it's because Psalm 50 is reflective of our text where Melchizedek referred to the Most High as possessor. That's why we started there, Psalm 50. So we go backwards a bit and go to Psalm 18. Look at verse 1. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God, for he heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken because he was wroth. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils, and fire out of his mouth devoured coals. Were kindled by. My high tower is the Lord. And I was thinking as we're reading that, the solace that such verses would have to someone like our friend Brother Mark Webb, even right now in the house of God for the first time since the loss of his dear wife. Those sorrows of death compass. And yet God is our high tower. He is that one that we run to for safety. And he's able to protect. I also reference 2 Samuel 22, which is reflective of Psalm 18, and also Psalm 57, our God, the deliverer, our God, that high tower. Our God, the divider, in Deuteronomy 32:8, when the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. It is His, is it not, this world, to divide it as He will? Our God, Elyon, the Merciful, in Psalm 21, the King shall joy in Thy strength, O Lord, and in Thy salvation how greatly shall he rejoice. Thou hast given him his heart's desire, and hast not withholden the request of his lips, Selah. For Thou preventest him with the blessings of goodness. Thou settest a crown of pure gold on his head. He asked life of Thee, and Thou gavest it him, even length of days forever and ever. His glory is great in Thy salvation. Honor and majesty hast Thou laid upon him. For Thou hast made him most blessed forever. Thou hast made him exceeding glad with Thy countenance. For the King trusted in the Lord, and through His mercy of the Most High, he shall not be moved. The merciful God. He is high. He is Elyon. He is holy. In Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed. Isn't that something? And though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. So I hope that as we cut these off on a verse, that they're piquing your interest, and you will take these and meditate on them in the coming weeks ahead, because they are rich. I'm glad this morning that we know and love and serve a God who is high and lifted up. High and lifted up. There's really no honor in being low. There's really no honor, and I speak, when I speak of lowness, I speak of this world's pitiful condition. And there's, although a temptation for some, especially it seems our young people, there's a temptation to mingle with the low things of earth, to dabble with sin. And there's no honor in that. If you've been born again by His grace, we serve a God who is high. And He's made us partakers of the glory, if you will, the wonder that is a spiritual walk. Why dabble with sin? Why fall into that temptation that pops up? You know that the pleasure of that sin is but for a season. And consider this. What does the Most High God think? What does it do if we name the name of Christ, who is above all, and yet we live and partake of this world's sin? What does it say to the world about how we really feel about Him? What does it say about our lives and the genuineness of our walk with Christ? God is high and lifted up. And while I don't believe we walk around each day with our nose stuck up into the clouds, yet maybe in a sense we should. He's with us and He is worthy of our praise every day. Maybe that would help those of us who perhaps struggle with temptation. And I was praying this morning and I thought of times when I used to come to the house of God on Sunday morning, having participated in things on Saturday that just didn't honor Him. whatever level of awfulness, sinfulness they were, then all at once it would be Sunday morning and I would be sitting trying to receive what the Lord had. And it was foggy. It wasn't sinking in. And I found my mind straying to yesterday or last night. Our lives matter. And how we enter this place this morning, it matters. And our walk with Christ should be vertical. It should be vertical. We shouldn't think of God on Sunday morning having forgotten Him all the way through the week. Lord, save us from that. Our God is holy. And He's made us holy in Christ. In Psalm 47, "Oh, clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is terrible. He's a great king over all the earth. He shall subdue the people under us and the nations under our feet. He shall choose our inheritance for us, the excellency of Jacob, whom He loved." Selah. Our Lord Elyon, Yahweh Elyon, is terrible in the King James Version. He is great. Remember, there is a service of God that is with reverence and godly fear. We serve a great God, a high and lifted up God, a terrible God. In Psalm 73, in verse 11, we see that Elyon is the enemy of fools, and they say, "How doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High?" He is the strength in Psalm 77 of the overwhelmed, and we can rejoice and take comfort in this morning. "Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath He in anger shut up His tender mercies? Selah. And I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High." I'll remember Him. He is the strength, our strength, when we become overwhelmed. He is the Redeemer of His own. Psalm 78, in verse 35, they remembered that God was their rock and the high God of their Redeemer. Let's look at that one a little bit. Psalm 78, yes. This is an interesting psalm here. Makes us a little uncomfortable, maybe, some of these verses, like 41. They turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. Sometimes that makes us a little bit nervous, us Sovereign Grace Baptists. But God, as we see in Psalm 78, and it's a lengthy psalm, was their high God and ours, their Redeemer and ours. In verse 17, they sinned yet more against Him by provoking the Most High God, the Most High, in the wilderness. They tempted Him. It says so in verse 18. In their heart, they provoked Him, as we saw. In verse 56, it's mentioned that they tempted Him again. Yet they tempted and provoked the Most High God and kept not His testimonies. They disobeyed Him. Psalm 107 says, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. And yet, in all of this, He is their Redeemer. Our God is a God of mercy, of long-suffering. In verse 36, they flattered Him with their mouth. They lied unto him with their tongue. But those little words in the scripture that give us joy, that make us run to him, are the words yet. Yet God, or but he, as in verse 38, but he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Maybe we should, when we think about our relationship to God, we should be more like, was it Samson's parents who said, if the Lord had been pleased to kill us, if the Lord had been pleased to kill us, after they saw what they believed was the face of God, she said, we're dead. And he said, if the Lord had been pleased to kill us. It's an interesting thought. Why? Because it assumes God's highness. It assumes God's, presumes God's holiness, presupposes God's power and authority and sovereignty. If the Lord had been pleased to kill us. When we approach Elion, our high God who is above all, maybe it would help us to have that attitude. I'm thankful, Lord, that you were not pleased to kill me. Because certainly you could have. Certainly you had the power. You had every right to. I have not been as good to you as you have been to me. And even after my redemption, I wonder, Lord, you're so patient with me. Our God is a high God. He is holy. If the Lord had been pleased to kill us, I just think that just opens up a wide array of thoughts. But he is a compassionate God, as we see in Psalm 78. He is a compassionate and forgiving God. He is our Redeemer, Elion. In Psalm 83, I think we'll go ahead and turn. I'm a little earlier than I thought I would be, so let's go ahead and turn to Psalm 83. Keep not thou silence, O God. Hold not thy peace, and be not still, O God. For lo, thine enemies make a tumult. And they that hate thee have lifted up the head. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people and consulted against thy hidden ones. They have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel be no more in remembrance. For they have consulted together with one consent. They are confederate against thee. The tabernacles of Edom and the Ishmaelites of Moab and the Hagarines, Gebal and Ammon and Amalek, the Philistines with the inhabitants of Tyre. Asher also is joined with them. They have hope in the children of Lot, Selah. Do unto them as unto the Midianites, as to Sisera and to Jabin at the brook of Kishon, which perished at Endor. They become as dung for the earth. Make their nobles like Oreb and like Zeeb, yea, all their princes as Zeba and as Zalmunna. Who said, let us take to ourselves the houses of God in possession. Look at the haughtiness here. Oh, my God, make them like a wheel, as the stubble before the wind. As the fire burneth a wood, and as the flame setteth the mountains on fire, so persecute them with thy tempest, and make them afraid with thy storm. Fill their faces with shame, that they may seek thy name, O Lord. Let them be confounded and troubled forever. Yea, let them be put to shame and perish, that men may know that thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, art the Most High over all the earth. He is the shame, the shamer, if you will, of the haughty. The shamer of the haughty. This week I was considering the condition of America. And I mentioned to my wife that I believe that our condition is not very complicated. We're not very old. We're a young country still. And I see where we are spiritually. And I don't, as I say, I don't see it as a mystery where we are. In our lifetimes, some of our lifetimes, in the generation before some of us, there was a certain adherence, there was a certain honor to the things of God. But then when I was a young boy in my generation, men stood up and said, okay, that's enough. We won't have this man to rule over us. Very simple. We're done. It was called romantically the counterculture. The reality is it was true rebellion against the things of God. It was somewhat of some people say, an enlightenment. That there is no right, there is no wrong, you do what feels good. But there's nothing romantic in it. There's nothing glamorous in it, in my opinion. I think it was a terrible, a shameful period in America's history when we stood up and men let their hair grow. What difference does that make? It makes some difference because it is a statement. Hair and beards down to the knees, you know. No job, just what feels good. Let's just get together and feel good. Rebelling against the Word of God, rebelling against the words of mom and dad who said you ought to do what the Bible says, yet seemingly without power in too many cases. Such haughtiness. I'm going to do things my way and nobody's going to tell me what to do. That man usually winds up incarcerated with men telling him what to do. I will not. Yes, you will. We spoke of that recently. Every knee will bow. So I think of America and I'm burdened for our country. I'm burdened that we would be so haughty as to stand up and collectively shake our finger in the face of a high God, the high God, and say, we will not. And I'm wondering, what will it take for us to say, Lord, we repent as a country? Collectively, we were so wrong. Well, if we're anything like the nation of Israel, often it took great calamity. Sometimes it took bondage, captivity, haughtiness. Would we consider for a moment the United States of America, a country that's been so blessed from its inception, what we are doing in the face of El Elyon, flaunting ourselves, showing ourselves, tempting God, flattering God, provoking God, that men may know that thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, art the Most High over all the earth. Well, he's not my God. Yes. Yes, he is. He's not my creator. Yes, he is. My knee will never bow. Yes, it will. God is high. He is the shamer of the haughty. In Psalm 87, he is the establisher of Zion. And of Zion it shall be said, this and that man was born in her. And the highest himself, I like that, don't you? The highest himself shall establish her. the hiding place of the saints. Psalm 91. Let's look at that one. We'll wrap it up here. Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, he that dwelleth in the secret place of Elyon, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. We read this verse last week because Almighty, a little bit of a review quiz for you, Almighty is El Shaddai. That's right, we read this verse last week. The shadow of El Shaddai. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most Elyon shall abide under the shadow of El Shaddai, the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Isn't that a blessing? Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, Yahweh, which is my refuge, even the Most Elyon, thy habitation. Thou shalt no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. A passage quoted later ominously there, verse 11. Verse 12, they shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Another ominous quote later in the New Testament. Verse 13, thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. He that dwelleth in the secret place of Elyon. And then lastly, in Psalm 97, we won't turn there, but just read in verse 9, for thou, Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods. He is the exalted one. And so I encourage you to keep the lesson this morning. And if you are needing a devotional roadmap or a system, take this and look at the different places. And I would recommend Daniel as well. But we see the lofty God, Elyon. He is forever and he is forever high and lifted up. Andrew Jukes quotes from the Book of Common Prayer in his book, The Names of God. And here is the words that are quoted during communion service. It is very meet, right, and our bounden duty that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto Thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify Thy glorious name, evermore praising Thee and saying, Holy, 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 Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of Thy glory. Glory be to Thee, O Lord, Most High. Psalm 7, verse 17, I will praise the Lord according to His righteousness and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. We worship a wonderful God, but He is high and lifted up. He is to be exalted today. He's worthy of our praise. Thank You, Father, for these things. And what a feeble attempt it is. But I pray that You would help us to No more of you is our God high and lifted up. You are indeed worthy. And we come to you this morning in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, whom you've given a name which is above every name. We worship you. We are praying this day, Father, for those who are here who are lost, who, while not in his own mind, her own mind, is wagging a finger in your face, yet in a resistance to the drawing, to the wooing of the Holy Spirit, there's rebellion. I pray, Father, may we see you as that sovereign God this morning who, had you been pleased to, you could have and should have killed us. But yet you are full of compassion and mercy and long-suffering. You are a God of grace that is extended even now to those here who are lost and without you. Save, I pray, these. And Father, those of us who depend on that grace to live, may you bestow it according to your riches. We love you and we praise your name. And we come to you, as we say, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.